All right, now look, this is the first day of the year, right? And so last night we got out of the old year, we shut it down at midnight. And we came into a brand new day today, a brand new year. And so this is what I want to say. We need to worship in this new year. And I don't know how late you all stayed up last night, but you all seem pretty tired this morning. Even one of my little grandkids are tired this morning. So I want us to stretch a little bit and come on up front. Oh, no. Come on. Niall's going to stretch. Now, let's stretch this way. Come on up. Come on, and let's worship with this next song. Let's worship him. We're throwing the old year out and the new year in, so come on. Let's worship him. If you're going to sit out there, then lift both hands and let's praise him. Come on, let's go. Come on up. Lift your hands. Praise the Lord this morning. He's worthy. Go ahead, y'all. Go ahead. Somebody ought to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead. Just let me talk. You all just go ahead and talk in the Holy Ghost and praise him. Praise him. We bless the Lord. We're just going to praise the old out, praise the new in. Kids, I want you all praising. It's all about Jesus. He's the reason for the season. He's why we're praising this morning. He's why we're here. He's why we have a new year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you going to do when you have a stronghold? You're going to shout what?
Jesus.
When you get fear that comes against your mind, what are you going to shout?
Jesus.
What are we going to shout from the rooftop, in the street, in our homes, in our bedrooms, in the darkness? What are we going to say, church? What are we going to say against addiction and the ugly things that come against your family and your home and your marriage and your money? What are you going to shout? There is no other name. There's no other name that is named in heaven or earth. Come on and worship him. Come on, Jesus, we shout your name. Lord, this is the beginning of a brand new year. And we know there's no time. There's no time in heaven. You don't have a calendar there. We just have it down here. This is just our calendar. So we invite you in on this first Sunday of the year, Jesus. Just come in and take over. Just come in and take over. In Jesus' name. Woo! Just take over this house. Take over this church. It's your church. You said if I don't build it, it'll just be built in vain. We're not going to have it, Lord. We're not going to have it. This house will not be built in vain. Our marriages will not be built in vain. Our teenagers, our children will grow up powerful and full of the Spirit because of your name. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all take your seats. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Just wanted to give him a little extra attention this morning on our first Sunday. Hallelujah. You all can take your seats or for a few minutes. You know what? I think I just want to give you a word the Lord gave to me. And I've sought him all week about this service. And just some words that, as a pastor, I see and feel and know, and I'm thankful for the second part. The first part that I heard coming to me, and I know there's a lot of good announcements, saying this is a year of protection, this is a year of correction, this is the year of prosperity, this is the year, this is the year, this is the year. And it is probably all of that, but I want to tell you, this is going to be a rocky year. I don't believe you have to be a prophet to know. You just got to be truthful. It's going to be a very rocky year. And with that said, it's not the time, folks, to be pulling away. Woo! See, I told you every year at the beginning of the year, somewhere in that year, when I finish reading my Bible through, I'll get another one. And last year, I think Sarah bought it for me for Christmas. I said, I don't have a Passion Bible, and I want to read that one. So I've been reading it through. And boy, you're talking about understanding, and it brings out the Aramaic, the words that Jesus spoke, the language that Jesus spoke. But here's the deal with that. Here's what I wanted to tell you. Paul said to the church some of the same things that I'm feeling, and it's very, very alarming for a pastor to see the people, so many people in the kingdom of God, not taking his word seriously and seemingly running away from righteousness and holiness. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of destruction is destruction. And I'm not even talking about that way that seems right. I'm talking to all of us who know better. People that know better. And yet you see the lifestyle and you hear the words and you see people pulling away and they're not as close to Jesus as they used to be. Saying words that they didn't want to say and watching things on TV they wouldn't have used to have watched. Going to the same movies that the world goes to. And I know this is old fashioned, but it's what I feel in my spirit to say this morning. I mean, it's just crazy in such a dark day to see the people of God running and looking just like the people out there. Church, that's wrong. You don't go on Facebook, put a picture of you holding a beer up here or a glass of wine. You don't take your liberties of just living however you want to live. Listen, when you become God's child, you are not your own anymore. You're not your own boss anymore. You say, yes, I am. No, you're not. You can't live like the devil. One day he said, don't sit at the table of devils and the table of the Lord. Come up and have communion, but you're living together, sleeping in the same bed, and you're not married. I'm like, God, we're a Pentecostal church. We used to understand that you don't drink. What was it? You don't cuss, drink, and chew like others do. That's what they told us growing up. You don't cuss, drink, and chew and do all the rest they do. And we didn't. Don't dress like them. Don't look like them. Don't try to show your little hiney off. Don't pull your blouse down so far that everybody can see your stuff. We don't want to see it. God sure don't want you showing it. I'm just saying, people, you say, Pastor, listen. I'm giving you the word of the Lord this morning. I could back it up. I could go to the book of Titus, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians. I could take you through it all. You say, yeah, but Galatians is a book of grace. Oh, yeah, we're covered by grace. But grace causes us want to come closer to God instead of farther away. Read a statistic the other day where parents are more addicted to things now than children, than teenagers. You know what the addiction was? Their phones, Facebook. They're addicted, yet tell the kids you can't, don't do that. What are you addicted to? What do you see in Facebook? I saw on Facebook yesterday, I was blown away. Whole group, I don't know who they were. Probably shouldn't even tell you. Some of you will run, try to find it. whole group of, looked like cheerleaders, with their pants pulled down to here. Like, what? I wanted to show my babies last night the ball drop. So we didn't watch it until the ball dropped. And when the ball dropped, you see all kinds of kissing, which is regular kissing's fine, but when you got the camera right there, and two men kissing. And before I could turn it, my baby saw that. I went to bed. I was so hurt. I saw it, Lynn, and it hurt me. Parker said, Nana, those two men. I go, no, baby. And Sarah came to, Mom, why didn't you turn it? I said, baby, I was so excited. I was trying to find the thing. I had wrong remote. Does that bother you? It should. You know, it should bother us what we see. Does it bother you anymore? The things that, I mean, if you start rubbing shoulders too close with the people at work, you rub shoulders with sinners and you begin to act like them more than the body of Christ or Jesus. Church, I'm telling you, it's just not the time to do that. I know one brother, he would go to one of our Bible studies, one of our discipleship studies, and he would like to argue with the instructor and or the brother and sister that was running the study about social drinking. Every time they had the Bible study, he would take over and want to talk about there's nothing wrong with social drinking. Well, guess what? Now he's lost his son, not to social drinking, but alcoholism. See, when you play where you shouldn't play, your kids are going to do what you do, except a little bit more. They'll go a little farther than you went. Do you want them doing what you do, seeing what you see, thinking like you think, talking like you talk, woman of God, man of God? So, and these lies of the enemy, the lies just keep coming. But here's the good part, okay? I had to lay that out because God said, tell them I see some who are pulling away from me. Pulling away from righteousness and holiness. You say, oh no, we're talking about pulling away from the church. Oh, yes. Because when you pull away from righteousness and holiness, you'll start to pull away from the church. That's why we have so many empty seats right now, because some have pulled totally away. They flirted with the thought that I don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, if you're a drug addict, you want to go to a crack house, don't you? If you're a partier, you want to go to a partier. If you're drunk, you want to go to a bar. So I'd say if you're a Christian, you probably want to go to church. So, but here's what I heard the Lord saying for 3 days now. You tell the remnant, you tell my people who are hungry to turn around if they've been playing, because they don't have any idea where they're going to wound up. But I do. Tell them to turn around now. Head back to the barn. Get them back to me because I have a plan. And here's his plan. The spirit of Gideon, he said, will come upon those who are intimidated and you fight inferiority and you don't think you're as good as others and you don't think you say it as good as others say it. He said, I'm going to pick you up and you've got fear up to here. See, Gideon was one man. He was intimidated. He said, oh God, I come from the least family in my town. My family's name didn't mean anything. Nobody knew who my mother and daddy were. And God said, Gideon, get up, you mighty man of valor. Oh God, you got the wrong guy, man. Listen, I'm out here working in this wine press because I'm trying to hide our harvest from the enemies out there. The enemy is going to come and steal our harvest, so I'm hiding it away. God said, you're a mighty man of valor. He said, no, God, you don't even know my family. They're the least. He was scared. He was timid. He was intimidated. He felt like he was down here and others were up here. He was inferior. He didn't feel like anything he said or did mattered. God said, you're a mighty man of valor and you're going to take it as one man, you and me together. And he put an anointing on that young man, Gideon. He said, Gideon. And Gideon starts saying, oh God, if that's you, then do this. If that's you, do this. If that's you, I'm not going to take time to tell you all the fleeces he put out. But if that's really you talking to me, then do this, that, and the other. And God just jumped through all the hoops because he's gracious. And he did everything the boy asked for. Because he knew how timid and fearful that boy was. But when it all came out in the wash, Gideon was exactly what God said he was, my sister. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. That's who you are. See, but he told me to tell you today, you think you're that, but he said, I know who you are. I know you're a mighty man, a mighty woman. So see, this is the day for those that don't pull away from righteousness and you don't start hanging out and you're getting all dull and all bored with the things of God. You're getting all bored. Just head on back over there because some good things are coming. If you need Gideon's anointing, he said it's yours. Because what's going to happen is the enemy is going to run. I mean, I believe the enemy's running now. Because when the enemy came, God had Gideon before he came. He had Gideon, my sister, at the right time, at the right place. And that boy had no idea what to do. But God got him to the right place at the right time. And he heard these people talking about a dream they had. They had a dream and the enemy was down there. And he said, the dreamer said, oh, I saw those people crying as they took, the enemy took off running from Israel. He said, I heard them take off running. And they said, oh, the sword of the Lord in Gideon. It wasn't just the sword of the Lord. Gideon himself, that little timid inferior man, heard that one boy telling the dream, the one man telling the dream, and he heard him say, "Woo, let's go. I hear the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Those two go together. You're Gideon and the Lord. And when you come together, you accomplish." And it happened just like that. He had Gideon at the right place to hear that dream. That boy was encouraged, and the Bible says he took out all the enemy. They got scared when they heard the pictures bust. God said, get those pictures together, put a fire in them. And when they heard it, they said, it's Gideon and the sword of the Lord. Just exactly like the dreamer said. Somebody ought to be thanking Jesus for it. And they took off running. See, when God has designed a plan for our lives, it's going to happen exactly as he said. He doesn't care how scared you are, how fearful you are, how intimidated you are, how no name you are. He said, I've already designed it. So the enemy's on their way out right now. As you are running back to God, you're running back to his righteousness. Just say, God, restore who, no, not who I once was. Restore me better than that. Help me to sense and know what I've never felt before, what I've never known before. Better than that, Lord. Number two, you need to write. You'll remember Gideon. It all happened just like God said. As one man, one with God. Israel was under attack again and there were armies coming all over. A prophetess named Deborah went to the 12 tribes of Israel and said, hey, the enemy's coming in to burn down our city. They're coming to burn down the city. But in Judges 5, it said all the 12 tribes, all the leaders were too busy. Pretty, they were keeping their businesses. They lived on the ships and they were taking care of their businesses. They took care of the farms. Zebulun said, oh, I can't come. I've got sheep and thousands of cows and thousands of donkeys. I can't come. Deborah, I'd like to, but I can't leave them. She said, baby, they're going to burn this city down. She knew it. See, there are just some things you know. And you don't make excuses for. But all of them made excuses except two men. But there was a woman who was Deborah's sidekick. So you got to run with the right people. You can't hang out with the wrong folks or they will leave you powerless. You'll start to act just like them. So here comes the armies in, just like Deborah said. And one of the men, his name was Sisera. He was the captain of the enemy's army. And he came to a certain tent. Let me tell you something. When you got the power of God on your life and the anointing on your life, the devil will come to the wrong place at the wrong time. That enemy, Sisera, the captain of that army, he came. And when he got there, he knocked on Jael's tent, J-A-E-L. Her name was Jael. And he said, excuse me, I need a place. I'm so tired. She said, well, come on into my tent. She invited him in. He said, could I get a drink of water, please? Oh, of course you can. Judges chapter 6. Of course you can. So she made him a nice little cot on the floor, put some blankets out or whatever they slept on. The Bible says instead of her getting him a drink of water, she got him a glass of milk. She got him a milk, and then it says she put some bread on a lordy dish. Lordy means a real fancy dish. Like, I don't know if they had china in those days, but it was quite a dish. She put that bread on that dish, brought him the water. She got a big old blanket. It was cold outside. She covered that man up. She covered Sisera up, the captain. And he's telling her, as he's drinking the milk, he's saying, now, if anyone comes and asks you, is there a man in your tent? You say, no. She said, okay, baby. He laid down. He laid down, got all comfortable, drank everything. And she goes, I'll be right back. He was so tired, he fell asleep. See, God can cause your enemies to fall asleep and not even know where they are or what they're doing. When he gets through with them, he is done. You wait until you see what's going to happen in America very soon. The enemy's starting to get sleepy and crazy. They're meeting themselves, coming and going. They are stepping all over themselves. So there lays that lying man, a lying man lying down. Remember, he said, tell him no man in here. She said, I'll be right back. I'm going outside. She went outside and she pulled up a couple of tent stakes out of the old tent. She pulled one up. She got a big old hammer. He's laying on his side. I hate to tell you this in front of the kids. This is like R-rated for violence. He's laying there. She takes that big old tent stick, about this long. She put it right here on his temple, the Bible says. One hand holding it, and the power of God in her. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So she got the power within her. The power, God gave her power in her hand. She got the power of the hammer, and he had the ugly head. And she got his head. It was laying there on the ground. And she put that stake right here up against his temple and began to hammer it. And she hammered that dude's head right to the floor. I mean, hammered him to the floor. And the Bible says, I was going to read it, but I read this. Listen. It says, there he sank. There he fell. There, let's see. There he sank, there he fell, there he lay down, there he died. It went in in little levels. I believe the enemy that's come against your mind, your family, your finances, your marriage for all these years, all of these years, he's getting ready to sink, to fall down, to lay down, and finally die because of the power that's in you. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost, come! Holy Ghost, show yourself! Greater is he that's in us, you guys, than he that is in the world. One woman. Armies were all around. The 12 tribes of Israel made excuses. Why? Because they had pulled back. They read the lies of the enemy. They believed them. They listened. The enemy said, oh, don't say that. Listen, if you don't go to that party, if you don't do that, you're going to look like a stick in the mud. If you don't do what they do, you're not going to fit in. So we believe the lies. He said, tell him I'm not in here. She didn't even answer him. She has nailed his head to the floor. And I believe God has given his people the power in this hour to nail the devil's head to the floor and to nail the enemies against us. One more I want to tell you about. I just want to give you these three. We could probably go clear through the word, but here's what I had coming to me. And then there was Caleb. All of us fall into all of these categories. I mean, as far as being maybe fearful or intimidated, a little inferior at times. I mean, it comes to all of us. It depends on who you're with or whatever. Satan will try to make you feel this way or that way. And that's Gideon. And like Jael, I don't know if the woman even thought twice that I can take this. I can do this. She wanted to save her nation. Gideon saved the nation. She saved the nation. One woman, one man. What could you do? What are we going to do, church? I don't know, but this thing is really big right now. And it's growing and it's huge. We're in the last hour. Who would have ever thought we would make it into all these millenniums? And that we would live in the beginning of a century and the beginning of a millennium at the same time. Who thought that? Caleb says, Joshua chapter 14, you read about it. Caleb was talking to Joshua, the leader. Moses died and God put Joshua in. And Joshua's sidekick was Caleb. So Caleb said, they were passing out all the inheritance of all the land that had been divided up for the 12 tribes. So Caleb went to Joshua. He said, Joshua, I'd really like to take that mountain, Mount Horeb. We saw it when we were in Israel. I'd really like to take that mountain. Are y'all listening? I'd like to take that mountain. The Bible calls it the mountain of God. It's the same mountain that Abraham was going to kill his son on. Are y'all listening? It's a serious message, you know. Caleb said, give me that mountain. And he said, well, Caleb, you're getting old now. Caleb said, listen, I was 40 when I was with Moses. And you know that you and me heard Moses. We heard Moses. God called us and said, you will go in and you'll take those giants down and you'll take the mountains. And I want that mountain. He said, I'm old now. He said, I was 40 then. I'm 45 now. Excuse me. That's been 45 years. I'm 85 now. But the Bible says his eyes were not dim. He was 40 when he got the message. He's 85 now and nothing had happened. And I'll be transparent with you now. I was 35 when the Lord sent me out into ministry. We went out there full time, 10 years on the road. After that came home, and I was 44 years old when we started the church. And I just turned 70 this year. And my grandkids never let me forget how old I am. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought, Lord, I'm too old now. God, look, I'm old. Man, I'm white-headed. I got these wrinkles and stuff. And they're not going to want an old woman. It's sure quiet in here. But I had to get a grip, lest I let inferiority and intimidation and fear rise up and the lies of the enemy come into my ears. Too late now. Revival's not coming. You've been saying it all these years. Where is it? It is not, girl. It is not coming. But I want to tell you, I've got my second wind. I was 44 then, and I'm 70 now. But I'm stronger now than I was then. And I know more now than I know then. And I'm more powerful now. And he who comes after me is going to be 10 times more powerful. And more anointed. And more glorious. And God has that person all chosen for you. This church will live on forever until it falls apart. But I believe there will always be a people who will keep it up on this corner and add to. Joshua said, you're right, Caleb. I'm going to give you that mountain. And old Caleb took that mountain. Took it as one man. Seniors, I tell you today, you may as well get ready, Phil, Lori. You're seniors, but don't you dare stop. Peggy, Joanna, Prudy. Well, I'm going to start naming you. Niles. All of us, Peggy. I mean, Kathy. Vivian, you don't look like a senior, but you're stronger today, honey. Don't say I'm alone. I got nothing. No, 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 no. We will get up and march on, church. You seniors, we will get up and march on into the glory. You have to have youth in the house for passion. But you have to have the old folks. You have to have the seniors for wisdom. And he said, this isn't the time to draw back. Because I'm putting the anointing of Caleb in my seniors. The anointing of Jael. And those that stay close. You can't run away. Don't run away from God. And don't run from the altar. But stay close, church. Stay close because it's a Gideon anointing. It's a Jael anointing. It's a Caleb anointing. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet with me this morning. The best is yet to come, church. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Don't let the devil confuse us. Don't you hold back anything from God. Don't you dare hold anything back. Now you can hold back your love for him. You can hold back your affection. You can just hold back reading your Bible. You can hold back. In fact, in the New Testament in Acts, the Bible says those disciples, there was two of them, they sold their houses. The disciples said, did you sell your house for this much? And they said, no. Sold it for this much. And they lied. The Bible said they lied to the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead because they held back a part where the others were giving. They held theirs back. We're not even talking about that right here. We're talking about holding back your righteousness and holiness. And if the power of God came and killed them and they dropped dead and there they lie because of money, what would he do because of us pulling back from righteousness? Maybe I should have written something down. I don't know. But I believe I've brought you what I was supposed to bring you. Don't back up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed because you are who you are. And it's going to be you being who you are. See, we all have different personalities. And so you don't have to be loud. You don't have to be quiet. You just be you. Well, what if people don't like me? Well, what if you try to impress them and they still don't like you? So you just we've all got our look and our personality and your weight and all of that. It just, he said, I want you. The old picture of Uncle Sam, I want you. Donald Cobbs, many of you know Donald Cobbs. I've known him as long as I can remember. He was in the old church with his wife, younger then. He just died this morning. He passed away. He had had cancer, been laying on a sick bed a long time. Got a call from Alice last night. Alice has been coming to church with us. She said the housekeepers called me and said that Donald's probably passing, and he did. They wrote to me this morning and said he left this morning. And Lori Seymour, friend of mine, her and her husband, Pastor and Shafter, her mother went to be with the Lord on New Year's Eve. Donald on Christmas Eve for her, on New Year's for Donald. Rick and Annette are at Stanford Hospital with their daughter again. She went up to have tests on her liver to see if she could get a liver transplant. They found all kinds of swollen lymph nodes and abscesses on her liver. Not good. And so they're testing to see if she can get a transplant. So they're up there. They went through Christmas and through New Year's. Stanford. There's people hurting. And I just want to tell you, all of these people, I went to Stanford. Kathy drove me and went with me. Rick rode with us, by the way. And we got there a couple of days ago, and I just went, we prayed and left, came home. And when you walk up to the front door, there's the word all over the door. They're still going through hurt. They're still going through pain, but guess what? They're going through with their head up and their shoulders back. Alice Cobbs, head up and shoulders back. She's 80 years old. See, the strength that we have, I wouldn't take for the strength of JL and the strength of Gideon. And that's how you go through this stuff. And yet God says, I've seen. For the past years, the hurt in my body and the hurt on the church and the things we've experienced. But he said, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption, Jesus is coming soon, church. And I want to say to someone this morning, if you have pulled so far back from Jesus, you've pulled so far back from righteousness and holiness. You don't have to do all that, you know. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've pulled so far back that nothing's wrong to you anymore and you don't feel any conviction, woo. If I were you, I'd run so fast. Because I'm going to tell you, he will hold you. And you can have this Gideon anointing like right now. Like right now. The JL anointing now. You don't have to wait 10 days to get it. You don't have to wait at all to get Caleb's anointing. Older man, older woman, seniors, it's ours. I think I know most of you in the house, but let me just ask right now because this is so important. I just think this is one of the most important messages I brought. Maybe I didn't deliver it right, you know. I don't know. I just did the best I can, and I tell God that I just do the best I can. But if you say, I came this morning, Pastor, and I really got lost. I've really done a number on myself. I am so terribly intimidated and inferior, and I believed all the lies of the devil. I feel so low that I've got to look up to see bottom. Maybe you feel like you're too old or too poor, your family wasn't enough. That's all a bunch of hogwash, and you better quit believing those lies. I'm just telling you right now. But let's go back to the straying away. Listen, there probably isn't one of us in here that haven't walked up to the front. In the old-fashioned churches, that's what we had to do. We had to walk to the front. Or you were so convicted. See, conviction is something. Conviction doesn't condemn us. People say, well, I'd go to church, but they condemn me. They condemn me. No, we don't condemn you, because condemnation will break you down. But conviction heals us. Conviction just picks us up and makes us do better. And so I pray that God will put such a glory on us because of who you are, because of who Jesus is. He's so good that when you go to town or you go, you don't have to say anything. And it's just like when you're eating whatever you want to eat and you're having a big old bunch of pizza or something, somebody walks up and you say, oh, what are you having for lunch? This apple and water. You automatically get convicted. But I pray there will be a conviction on us that will heal people. No condemnation. We don't have time for that mess, church. We don't have to cut anybody back. We don't have to say, she's done this, he did that, I heard. Did you see they were at the bar? Did you see I saw them walking out of this place? Keep your mouth shut and don't say that. That's condemnation. Conviction is just be who you are. Show them the love of Jesus coming out of you. That's different. Different. So, did you stray away? And you'd like to come back to Jesus right now? If you would, come on. And you can get that Caleb, Dale, Gideon anointing on your life. See, I got saved one day. I got saved and you got saved. And it's held me all these years. And Donald Cobbs died, Vivian. He died at 85, saved. Because he got saved at that old locust in a church, the same one we did or I did. Oh, Virginia Nixon died, saved. Because she got saved when she was a girl. Maybe you need to get saved this morning. Saved from yourself. See, we worry about getting saved from hell. We just need to get saved from us. I want us to do this one more time. I know we've already done it. But I want you to come back to the altar. It's January 1st, 23. We're going to give everything we got to Jesus today. And say, Lord, I'm starting this whole thing right. I want myself right, my family right. Come on up a little closer so we can get in the altar area. See, this is where the river's flowing. Come on, lift your hands to him. Come on, just lift your hands to Jesus. And let's just say, Lord, I give myself to you. I repent, Lord, that I stepped away and I've drawn back. Fill us with your righteousness, oh God. We're saved. We got saved. We got saved. Don't act like everything else is more important than Jesus. Nothing is more important than him. You say, I want to be spiritual, but I can't be. No. No, spiritual is something you are. Because of him. Only because of him. Lord Jesus, draw us close. We rededicate ourselves to your purpose for us. You have made a purpose. You have called us. You have designed us. And nobody else can do our work but us. You put us in our different places. Most of us live in Porterville or surrounding areas. But you've put us in this place. You've called us to our careers, to our places. We lift up everything. Come on, just lift up both hands to him. Walk back over to him. Get back to him. Get back to him. Just say, Lord, I'm tired of it. You know what happens when you get out of your element with him? When you get out of the kingdom of heaven and you walk in your own ways in the world? You don't even know what to think about yourself. You don't even know what's going on with you. You feel like a fish out of water. A fish just flip-flops all over when it gets out of its environment. But God said, tell you to come back in. You won't be flipping and flopping and feeling all weird about yourself. Because he says, I know who you are, Gideon. You mighty women of valor. Mighty, mighty, mighty woman of valor. Woo! You mighty JL. Mighty JL. Woman of valor. Men of valor. The Gideons, the Calebs in this house are blowing me away. The great Gideons who, Lord knows, what you've got planned for your sweet people. Whew. Gideons, JLs, Shorarabahasa, Calebs. Lord, cause these Calebs to rise up. The JLs in the house. The Gideon. The Gideon will be more strong, Lord, than ever before, discovering. Cause us, listen. I hear him saying, I'm going to draw you up to the enemy's camp. Not to partake, but you're going to hear. You're going to hear some things. You're going to hear some plots. And it's going to lead you the way. It may be through a dream. It may be something that you've heard. But he said, I'm going to put you at the right time, at the right place, so you will hear and so you will know and so you will accomplish what I've called you to accomplish. His word does not return void, folks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise him one more time and thank him that you're saved. Thank him that you're saved. Thank him that you're saved. Don't let an evil word come out of your mouth. I know you guys, you hear all kinds of stuff on your jobs every day. And those words will be very easily coming into your mind and out your mouth. No, the righteousness of God does not speak that way, does not act that way. So there's a newness as you get back into your environment, back with God. It's just a renewal, Father. We just want to rededicate. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. I'm yours, Lord. Everything we've got, everything we are, everything we're not, we're yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. May be keep you from all harm and all danger and protect you as you go to work, as you go through your week. May he prosper you and bless you and turn his countenance toward us. And keep us shining, Lord, as a shining armor for him. And may his peace rest upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Happy New Year. And you keep your brothers and sisters in prayer. Amen.